like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the 119th Psalm. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. We'll begin with verse number 1 in just a moment. Psalm 119 and verse 1. I'm speaking on life verses for the new year. Life verses for the new year. And I want you to get it. Not just a verse you may think, I picked that up years ago and that's my life verse. I'm talking about life for the new year. Life verses. I talked about life verses once in the presence of Frank Sells. And Frank Sells says, you need more than a life verse. You need one every day. You need one every week. You need one every month. And let God speak to you. You may have life verses, but let God speak. We had a man speak here not long ago, a high school principal, and he said, there's a verse for that. And he emphasized, there's an app for things. He said, there's a verse for that. One of the most powerful messages I ever heard. I thought, well, not just for young people, but for all people, there's a verse for that. So life verses for the new year. We're in Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let's read that 11th verse together. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I could land anywhere in this 119th Psalm and bring this message. It's all about the Word of God. The six verses and the 176 verses that do not mention directly the Word of God are something that represents the Word of God. Six verses. I could give you those verses. 3, 37, 90, 91, 122, and 130. Look how God's word is spoken of. In verse 1, the law. Verse 2, testimonies. Verse 4, precepts. Verse 5, statutes. Verse 6, commandments. Verse 7, judgments. Verse 9, in other places, thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Some say that the middle verse in all the Bible is found in the 118th Psalm. Verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Think of the shortest chapter in the Bible, 117th Psalm. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. This is the word of God. I hold in my hand the word of God. The Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. His word endures forever. I've said many times to you, the Bible is a supernatural book. There are four inseparable supernatural truths about the Word of God. The revelation, it's God's revealing himself in word. We know there's a God in creation, in nature, But God gives us a written revelation of himself in the Word of God. All 66 books are about God. They teach us things about the Lord. Without any one of those books, if one were removed, we don't have what God wants us to know about himself. Then there's inspiration. If you'll turn with me, please, in the New Testament, most of you know these verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, begin with verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration. What is that? It's the divine guarantee that we have exactly what God wants us to have. I want to give you a little counsel. Don't start fooling around with things and guessing about things that God doesn't record in his word concerning himself or his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're apt to get in trouble in presuming, and presumption will get you in a bad situation, because if it's not clearly taught to us in the word of God, look, the Bible's not everything God knows, but it's everything God wants us to know. So there is this supernatural work of revelation, the supernatural work of inspiration, and they're inseparable. If you talk about one without the others, it's meaningless. There is the supernatural work of illumination. Think about that. This book lives. It brings light to us. It points the way. It is the truth. It illumines our lives. You can search all over the world and everything imaginable, but if you leave out the Word of God, you don't have the light God wants you to have for your life. But then there's the supernatural work of preservation. It's preserved forever. It endureth forever. It says of itself, it endureth forever. And so this is the Word of God, and we need verses. Verses, life verses. I want to show you something if you turn back with me in the New Testament. I have life verses. I have a verse in Philippians. I want you to find it, please. I want you to find the verse that used to be my life verse. I call this my life verse. Every time I wrote my name, I wrote this verse down. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. It especially was endeared to me as I was in great need in the days I was in college trying to pay bills, raise a family, do everything else. I can remember praying for $20 for used tires. But I knew God was with me. He was always for me and never against me. And God gave me this verse in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it may be a verse God gives you in a great hour of need that's like a rope from heaven that pulls you through. Get a life verse for this new year. Life verses where God can speak to you. And then I started signing also the book of Acts in chapter 5 and verse 42. I want to read it to you. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Because I would get weary and think about, I don't have the strength to carry on. And then I came to this verse and God spoke to me. I read the context about what was going on in the lives of God's children and how they stayed with it. And then I came to this verse in verse 42 of chapter 5. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And that's a verse that I've signed by my name for many years now. I was signing Philippians 4:19 and Acts 5:42. But I'm about to change again. I'll probably keep Acts 5:42 and add this other one to it and then finally drop out Acts 5:42, though it's a great verse. But I'm going to put this verse as a life verse for me. You may have had the same one for a decade. I've had it for longer than that, but I'm taking this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'd like to know. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 2 Timothy 3:14. I've imagined writing that and abbreviating Timothy. two Marks, Timothy, period, 3:14. And writing near it, the word continue. Because it's spoken to me. It has spoken to me. It leaped off the page. It went straight to my heart. It's helped me immeasurably. It's just been such a help. I can't measure it. It's immeasurable. Look at it again. 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue thou. And I'm going to rehearse in my mind the things I've been assured of. Nothing and no one can take them away from me. I think for this juncture in my pilgrimage, it's a good verse for me. What's your verse? What is your life verse for this new year? It's a verse from the Bible. What is it? I'm going to give you these things we have to do with the Word of God. And I want you to write them down because I want you to teach them to other people. First, you must read the Bible. Read it. Now, you do that any way you want to. You can begin in the book of Genesis and read through all 66 books of the Bible. You can read in the Gospel according to John and finish a gospel record and then go to other books. You can say, I'm just going to read through the New Testament this year. Or I'm going to read the great chapters in the Bible. We have a website, Temple Baptist Church, another one, Faith for the Family. And we have the great chapters of the Bible, Old Testament chapters, New Testament chapters. You may just want to read the great chapters. But I'm trying to say, read the Bible. We have the life of great people and the chapters where their life is given. Read the Bible. We have great doctrinal chapters and verses. Read the Bible. We have to begin by reading the Bible. Amen. Reading the Bible. Then the second thing, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Turn with me to the Gospel according to John just for a moment, would you please? The Lord said concerning searching the Scriptures in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's the same conversation Christ had with the disciples on the Emmaus Road after his resurrection. The Bible is going to be speaking about Jesus. Every time you're reading the Word of God, you're searching for the Son of God. You're looking for the Lord. What is in this passage that's about Jesus that points me to Christ? Searching the Scriptures. Searching. I remember the pastor, Luke Martin, came to my house. I was a senior in high school. And he said, now the Bible says, let me just show you what the Bible says. He said, son, bring me your Bible. I went in the bedroom. I got a little Bible. It was given to me by Dr. Howard when I was a boy. I brought it out. He said, now turn. He talked about what testament to go to. He said, now turn in your Bible to a certain passage, and I want to read it to you. It'll prove what I'm saying is true. And I tried my best to find it. Can you imagine how embarrassed I was sitting there, a senior in high school? Not knowing the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He told me which testament to look in. I couldn't find it. He told me what chapter and what book. I couldn't find it. Finally, I handed him my Bible. And I said, Pastor, would you find that verse for me? When he prayed with me, he finished talking. He wanted to get assurance of my salvation. And so when he prayed with me, he left, dismissed himself. I went to my bedroom. I'll never forget it. I'm talking about it right now. And while I'm talking about it, I'm picturing the whole thing in my mind. I went to my bedroom. At the time, I was sleeping on a twin bed, half bed. And I got down on my knees beside that bed. And I said to the Lord something like this. Here I am, a Christian, since I was 14 years old. And can't even find a verse in the Bible. What kind of Christian am I? And I made a promise to God that I would search the Scriptures and learn the Bible. And I couldn't do that without reading it and searching it. I want you to know you need verses from God's Word. You need the Word of God. It liveth and abideth forever. Read the Bible. Search the Bible. The third thing, we need to do is compare Scripture with Scripture. I want you to turn with me to one of Paul's letters, if you would please. This time to 1 Corinthians. There's another passage I could give you from the second letter, but I want to just give this passage to you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words, notice, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now God identifies in this verse that these are the words of God. We believe what we call the verbal inspiration of Scripture. That means every word of it. And we believe what we call the plenary inspiration of Scripture. That means all of it. So every word of it and all of it came from God. It's the God-breathed word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he gave words that were penned. We have a translation in the English language of the Word of God here. And we're comparing Scripture with Scripture. You may want to write this down. It's something you want to say to people. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. Even great men have thought the Bible contradicts itself. You know, great men. One great man who was involved in the Reformation in Europe thought the Bible, the book of James contradicted other parts of the Bible. But he was wrong. He was wrong. And he came to understand the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Comparing Scripture with Scripture complements and teaches us. I love to do that when I'm studying to teach and preach, or studying for my own heart condition that I need to have, a tender heart to the Lord. Everything that we teach and preach should come out of our devotional life, not just teaching and preaching as a job or a vocation. I find myself growing very cold in my heart when I think I've just got to get a sermon for you to hear. I don't want that. I want God to deal with me, speak to me, and out of what God speaks to me, from the overflow of that, I want to speak with you. And so I have the great joy of comparing Scripture with Scripture, and I praise God for it. Then we ought to memorize Scripture. Back to our verse, look at it please, in Psalm 119. Look at it. He puts his finger on the heart of the matter here in verse 11. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart. How do you do that? That I might not sin against thee. Look at the result that comes from hiding God's word in your heart. The devil comes, the world comes, the flesh comes, and you pull out the sword of God's word on them. Amen. You reach for the word of God. It's the word of God that we need in this fight. And my heart breaks when I hear about people who say they're in God's work but don't have God's word in their work, that don't emphasize the word of God. It's our great weapon. It's what God put in our hand and heart as a tool, and we hide it in our heart. We hide it. We memorize it. Now, some of you are saying, I'm not good at that anymore. Listen, sometimes just a phrase, just a statement can be the thing that God gives you to win the victory. Or a verse. No matter how lost your memory may be, use what you have. Again, Dr. Sells said to me, I don't think I'll ever lose my mind. He was 90-something years old. I said, well, tell me why you don't think you'll ever lose your mind. And he said, because I've hidden God's word in it all these years. And God's word cleanses and washes. The hiding of God's word. That was his opinion. The word of God. Nothing is more powerful than the word of God hidden in our hearts. Sometimes you'll be hit with an attack that comes so suddenly, you think, where in the world did this come from? But you've hidden the word of God in you. And you get a word from the word, or a verse from the Bible, and it helps you to stay in the battle. Many times, I remember one time in particular when I was pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Lenora City, Tennessee. Now, I got under a certain attack, and I had an answer of a good conscience about the matter. I knew I'd done the right thing. But my wife came into a room I used for a study, and I was sprawled out across the bed crying, just about broken. And she said, "What's the matter?" And I told her. And she said, "Get a word from God." She said, "My verse is, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." And you know, an angel could have come in that room. She did. An angel could have come into that room and thrown me a rope right out of heaven from the throne of God and pulled me right back where I was supposed to be. That's what that word did. You understand? I knew that verse. But when I applied that verse, it gave me the victory that I needed. Then there must be meditation on the Word of God. Our minds are amazing things. Amazing things. You think about what you can recall. I've always, in a sense, prided myself about being able to remember. Shouldn't do it. Shouldn't have looked at it that way. Remember a person, remember a thing. I've said many times, I've got thousands of books in my study. I could pull out a book and show you the page something's on that I may have read years ago. Somebody said, "Your son was born one night, one of your sons, when you were preaching." I said, "Yes, I was preaching on the 5th chapter of Daniel, Wait and Warning." That's been many years ago. They said, "How did you remember that?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know. It's a gift from God. I don't know." But you start thinking about it as you grow older. This mind that God's given you. What are you doing with this mind? You think about things. You think about people and places and life. But nothing is as helpful as thinking and meditating on the Word of God. I'll go so far as to say this. I want every one of you to be successful, if I get to define success. Making success a goal is a folly, especially if it's riches as a goal. They'll take wings and fly away. But if you turn with me to the book of Joshua, this is what God told his man Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And notice how he put this. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate," would you mark that? "Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." We know it, meditate on it, so we can do it and obey it. And then the Bible says, as we're obedient to the Lord, "For then," mark that "then," "for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You see, we try to put success and prosperity in the front of all of this. No, 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 no. God has it right here. He puts his word, obedience to his word, and meditating on his word. If we've got his word and we're determined to obey his word, meditating on his word, then God says, "In my eyes, I'm going to make you prosper the way I want you to and have good success." See, you might want, and I might want, something for success that's not really success at all. It was George Truett who coined this expression, "There's no, as far as I know, there's no success outside the will of God. And there's no failure in the will of God." I remember saying to a man, powerful man in the church years ago, I said, "Well, let's see what the Bible says." And he was out of sorts. We all get that way from time to time. Emotion was running his life and not God. See, when God made us spirit, soul, and body, he gave us his spirit when we're born again to bring life and light in our soul. We have intellect, emotion, and will. It's to work that way. Intellect, truth, then emotion, then will. But sometimes we let the emotion run in front of the intellect. When I said, "Let's just see what the Bible says about it." He said, "I don't care what the Bible says." And I said, I don't like to say this to you, but it's not good for any Christian to make a statement like that. Because we ought to care everything about what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? And so as we meditate on the Word of God, God speaks to us. As we obey what He says, He gives us direction. And God smiles. He blesses. He gives prosperity. And He gives success. I want that for you. I want that for my home. I want that for my children. I want that for my grandchildren. It all originates in the Word of God. Now, do you see how important it is to take life verses for this new year? You can't make it without them. And so we're going to try to encourage you to dig into the Word of God and let it dig into you. Let's bow in prayer, may we?